You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
...726 here on the West Coast. The home of All Marine Radio. High above. High atop the first story of my house. Real, not really, but it sounds good. That's what most people say, so whatever. Show business, baby. I'm joined by the official All Marine Radio head chef, the man that this intro is made for. That's Steppenwolf, for those of you who don't know. Those of you babies too young to remember. That's right. Kim Holmes joins me from Grand Forks, North Dakota. Kimball, how are you?
Just another day in paradise here.
That's right.
We're getting to the sweet spot here in the summer.
Yeah, I could tell by all those tornadoes that went through your county the other day.
They missed us in Northwood, so that's
it's because of the fork in the river, right? That's why they missed her?
As you know it is. That's an Indian
legend.
Legend.
Yep. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on pretty incredible. I mean, you and I were both. You're a little bit older than I was during the Watergate era, not since then have you know we kind of turned on our TVs and had such drama in Washington D.C. in front of a committee. Your thoughts on all of that?
Well. it's just Trump is Trump, and he's not a politician. He's not a leader. He's a bully. He associates with dictators, congratulates the Philippines for taking care of the drug problem by killing 9,000 people. I mean, look. There's so many people that he could defer to and surround himself with, which he did with the Secretary of Defense, Homeland Security, and those gentlemen, those Marines. And that's, for the way I look at it, that's the saving grace for this country, for those three guys, saying, get your hand off the trigger, Trump. And, it's pretty shocking.
What'd you think about Comey?
I can't agree with you more. I think he was a wimp. I thought he was a wimp, from Loretta Lynch to handling of, Hillary, to the handling of Trump, especially Trump, when he, and you called it beautifully, you know, what do you mean you were stuck? Come on, lighten up, pal. Yeah.
Hey, look, when you go into a meeting with Donald Trump, would you have your hand on your wallet?
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, because if you don't have your hand on your wallet, you're going to lose it.
Yeah. How many guys do you think approached him about, hey man, let me just tell you, I know this guy. He plays fast and loose with the truth. He wants what he wants, and he's not afraid to lean on you to get it. And trust me, it's going to come your direction. And I was shocked. I just thought it was, and again, I thought the same thing about the Loretta Lynch thing. It's not a matter. Yeah. It's an investigation. It's what we do. I'm not going there. I don't want to butt heads with you, but that's significant. It's an investigation. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to misrepresent it. for political reasons.
That's right.
So it seems like he is, and we've talked about leadership at the point of confrontation where somebody looks at you and says, no, man, it ain't going that way. What do you do?
Yeah.
And the way it's come up is in the Marine Corps, we have these incidents of urinating on corpses. We have incidents of people, you know, killing civilians deliberately in Iraq. We have stuff going on in our boot camps. And every one of those instances takes place with other people around and other people that attempted to intervene. But then somebody looks at them and says, hey, get out of here. Shut up. What do you do? Do you get out of there? Do you shut up? Or do you stand up and say, yo, man, you want to go right now? Let's go. But we ain't going there. We ain't doing that. And to me, that's what I'm astounded that whether he was intimidated or what, that the director of the FBI, either at that meeting or even when he walked out to his car, said, wait a minute, what just happened? I need to go back in there and tell him that don't ever go there with me again.
Yeah.
You know, and but he doesn't. He takes notes, and then he leaks the notes. Man, just walk out into your driveway and say, hey, I'm going to make a statement here. I'm James Comey.
Yeah.
From my recollection, these are my notes. I'm turning them over. Right now I'm on my way to the Hill to turn them over to the Senate Intelligence Committee and Mr. Mueller. And those are the only two copies, and I want this as a part of the public record. It's like beast. So anyway, my thoughts.
Well, you know, and they're pretty spot on because there is no leadership in Washington right now, period. Whether Trump lasts 2 years or he makes it to the end of his term.
Or eight.
No, he ain't going to. Believe me, he's not going to.
Let me tell you.
Don't even toy with my
emotions. I'm going to tell you this. He's deregulating Wall Street a little bit. If the marginal things that he will do to the economy creates more jobs and the economy gets better, he'll get reelected. Write it down, baby. Write it down because let me tell you, hey, nothing sells like sex. Nothing gets you reelected like jobs and the economy. Ask Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton got reelected and on the strength of what George Bush Sr. did relative to raising taxes and creating the enabling an economic comeback, and Bill Clinton, in spite of all his craziness, he got reelected. So write that down. Donald Trump gets reelected if the economy goes into hyperspace.
Well, first of all, come 18, there's not going to be a Republican majority in the House or the Senate or both. So
they haven't won any of the seats even after the election when everybody's pissed. They haven't won one of them. So again, I understand your sentiment and I know you're speaking a little bit with your heart, but we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Look, I watched Watergate. I watched Vietnam. All that came after that with Iraq and Afghanistan and everything that's gone down. And it's just disheartening for me.
I agree. I agree with you. I would use the same word too, disheartening. We expect more. We think they're gonna, but you know what, Kim? It seems to be in all those instances a beeline for the bottom.
That's pretty much how I think too, and I'm glad I'm 73 and on the back nine. But for youngsters like Colleen and Catherine and your boys, I don't know. I know we'll pull up, but
no. But the question is how. What pulls us up? We don't. Where is the leadership going to come from?
Well, that's the problem, and you pointed that out.
Yeah,
every time. we've talked about this. They don't even know how to spell it in D.C.
Yeah.
It's way it's way out of their wheelhouse because all they give a shit about is getting reelected, and they don't think about the country. All they do is thinking about their party and partisan politics, and there's no cooperation between Republicans or Democrats.
And, what's going to happen with healthcare, Kim, is you know, more and more insurance companies just are, they won't sell it anymore because they can't financially do it. So the Affordable Care Act is collapsing because it's not sustainable. There's not going to be any agreement to fix it, and then we're going to have nothing. And
that's right.
That's going to be the way it is. So anyway, so let's talk about shish kebab.
Yeah, please.
All right.
Get me out of that dark hole.
I'll tell you what. I thought it was riveting yesterday to sit there and watch the director of the FBI talk about these things, the things that he could speak about in open session. It highlights the flaws of our democracy. It highlighted to me, if you had any illusion of what the Russians do around the world, right? You see that on display yesterday. But I will say this, I don't know that probably anybody meddles in more elections than we do. So we, look, it's a fact of life. You know, it is what it is. You know, we have a history throughout in our country. We have instigated coups. We have assassinated people. And so be careful about living in our glass house. And we're no stranger to attempting to influence an election either. Just don't try to influence ours. Damn it.
Yeah, that's all we can hope.
That's right.
Don't mess with us.
Don't mess with us. We'll mess with everybody else. Do not mess with us.
Jersey rules. We make them.
Exactly. All right. Kebab. First of all, what is a kebab?
Kebab are chunks of meat on a skewer with peppers, onions.
Okay, well, hold on. Generic kebab, it could be meat, it could be chicken, it could be pork, yes, any one of those. So it's some kind of...
I was going to say, beef, pork, lamb, chicken, shrimp, if the shrimp are big enough.
Right. I guess generically fish would be difficult, but I guess possible, yes, if you could find fish, some fish shark you could do it with. Constitution.
You could do it with tuna or swordfish. They're firm fish, especially swordfish, but they'll cook pretty fast.
Okay, and so it's some kind of beef, chicken, fish, pork,
and then
fruits and vegetables between it. That's essentially the dish, yes.
Pretty much that's the dish. You cook them on, before they had metal skewers, we used to use long wooden skewers. But you have to, if you have wooden skewers and you're going to use them, you soak them in water for 30 to 60 minutes before you put them together. So then the skewers won't burn up. And everything falls through your grates.
Okay, let's talk about that. Do you use wood or metal?
Metal.
You use
100% metal.
100% metal. Okay. All right.
Yeah, and they have a little ring on one end, and pointed. The other end is pointed.
Right. That's how Kathleen used to do hers.
Yeah.
I have to go run and get her recipe tin here in a minute and find her shish kebab recipe. So then we'll compare notes here. Let me just ask you, what do you have a favorite kind of beef that you use for shish kebab?
You can use ribeye. which is kind of expensive. You can, I think filet is a little bit, too lean. There's not enough fat on it. You can use sirloin. You want a meat that has a little fat on it if it's beef.
Okay.
Pork can be lean. Lamb can be, lean, have a little fat on it because it gets that crust. You know, the fat, creates a crust, which is, I love it.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yep. And, now,
So chicken, you know, if it's skinned, not going to have any fat, correct?
Skin is fat.
I know, but the chicken you're going to use is going to be chunks of chicken, so the chicken's going to be skinned, so there's going to be no fat in that, yes?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then the same.
But what we're going to do with whatever, meat, poultry you use, you marinate it.
Okay.
In a marinade. And it can marinate, in up to 24 hours.
Okay.
But no less than 2 to 4 hours.
Okay.
So what you do it when you get home from work and have them the next night when you get home from work, or you can do it in the morning if it's the weekend, when you get up. You marinate, prepare the meat or chicken, whatever, and put them in either a 1 gallon Ziploc bag. But my recommendation is to put it in a stainless bowl and cover it tightly with saran wrap. And then stir it up every hour. So the meat gets coated with your marinade.
Nice. Okay. All right. I want to go back to the kind of meat. So if you're going to do beef, you want some marbling in it. You want some fat in it, to get that little, that good taste that we love.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And you don't, if you do, say you want to use filet, you're a high roller. And you want to, whatever you use, chicken, beef, pork, lamb, you cut it in 1-inch squares.
Right.
Okay. 1-inch squares and, not much bigger than that. You can go 1 1/4, eyeball it. But, don't cut them too small and don't cut them too big. If they're too small, they'll cook too fast.
Right.
And if they're too big, they'll get burnt on the outside. So you want to cook this through, and you want it medium rare.
Okay, let me ask. So whatever you said, you say 1 inch by 1 inch. Say I like bigger chunks of meat and want to do an inch and a half or 2 inches by 2 inches. As long as they're uniform, so they cook uniformly, that's the key, right?
Yes.
See?
And
I could have been a chef. I could have been a chef.
You have to turn them 1/4 turn every minute and a half, 2 minutes, because that way that heat will evenly penetrate the meat, and you don't want to just throw them on there and walk away.
Okay, I have a question for you. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do my inch and a half squares. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Because I want a little bit more.
Yeah.
And why am I turning it 1/4 turns and not 1/2 turns? Because if I do it 1/2 turns, then it's the same thing as grilling a steak. I'm just, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why the 1/4 turns?
We're cutting it 1.5 inch squares. Emphasis
yes.
on the square.
Yeah.
So you have 4 sides that you want to cook. And that's why you do 1/4 turn every couple of minutes. And so in about 8 minutes, you can pull it off.
Got it.
And you can either, I like to put the skewer, on the serving plate and let everything everybody take their own meat or whatever off the skewer themselves. It's kind of cool to see that on a plate. It's just a gorgeous presentation. So that would be my recommendation.
Okay. Now, in terms of somebody just sent me a message that says, because it's square, dumbass?
Well, I was trying to be nice and walk around that for you.
Like, I don't.
But yeah, he's right. They're right.
No, he's not. It doesn't matter that it's square. It has two sides, just like a piece of steak. So I don't understand why I have to go on the quarter side. I think, honestly, I think you've been screwing this up for a long time. Now, if you tell me that you want a little crust on all four sides, then I get it. But to say, you know, and let me just tell you what he's really pissed at. He's a Red Sox fan, and he knows he's going to get his shit handed to him today because the Yankees should have swept him again. They piss-pounded him two nights in a row, and that's what he's trying to. He's trying to, like, deflect me from that little event that's going to happen today. But I'm not going to be deflected. Anyway, so I think it's a pretty savvy question. So if you want the little black, and see what I used to like with Kathleen's marinade, and I need to go get it here in a minute, but was the I like that little bit of black crust that you were talking about, and if you had a little bit of fat, a little bit of black crust, and the good marinade, with a little bit like a hot tomato. Or an onion or pepper. Shish kebab's awesome. Okay. But I'm looking at it. You're telling me that it has four sides. Like, I don't give a shit about the quarter side. To me, it's a piece of steak. And if I'm going to do it right, I put it, you know, one side, and then I flip it to the other side. To me, quarter turns are a recipe for overdone shish kebab, which you see all the time because the meat is so slender. Boom, bitches.
Listen, let me try to explain this to you.
You're gonna break it down Barney style for me?
I'm gonna break it down for you here. Okay. If you want to just cook it on one side each, then you do an inch and a half by 3-inch pieces. Okay?
I don't want those.
I know you don't. So, if you do what I say, and actually what you should do is do shish kebabs, and one you flip just once, one you flip every minute and a half, 2 minutes on a quarter turn.
Right.
And then you eat it, and you tell me which is superior.
You know what? I like that.
Now, that's your assignment this weekend.
Okay. All
because... Right. Because your emailer and I are right, and that's why you have me on this show.
I know.
To help you through difficult moments like this.
No, let me just tell you, but I, unlike James Comey, I'm not afraid of you. And so when you say dumb stuff, it's my job to call you out and say, we ain't going there.
Oh, God, I love it when you call me out.
Exactly. Boom. Yeah, I'm not afraid of you. You think I'm afraid of you to talk cooking shit with you? I'm not. I never was afraid to call bullshit on my dad and baseball. In fact, I'll give you one of the great conversations. I don't know what year Aaron Boone hit that home run. He's talking about, well, who do you like in game 7, blah, 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 blah. And I said, let me just tell you, Montana man, you better knock it off or else you're going to just become Rob again, okay? We're going to take your name away from you. I said, you know, they have Tim Wakefield in the bullpen, and I'll tell you what, he throws that 87-mile-an-hour knuckleball, and when that thing doesn't knuckle, I don't like that. And what do you think happened? He's like, oh, no, won't, won't, won't. I said, yeah, Mac, you don't know what you're talking about, which I think stunned him momentarily. But, I should have been with Comey. I would have been poking him in the ribs. Tell him. Say it. Say it. Just say it. So, hey, I'll say it.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. President. We ain't your bitch.
I'm thrilled that you just said it.
What?
But, all I'm saying is if you do inch and a half or 2-inch squares,
Square.
Not rectangles.
Not rectangles.
Squares.
Squares, not rectangles.
You're going to get...
I'll do inch squares. I don't care. The measurement's not significant. What's significant is cooking it on two sides as opposed to four, and does one taste better than the other? I think both your scientific cooking logic is flawed, okay? And I will prove it to you. Now, if the only difference is the crust, then I will concede that point to you. But if there's any other kind of taste difference, then we shall see. I don't think there will be.
Okay. I can't wait to hear it next week.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do the same test. Inch by inch, turn some quarter turn, turn others half turn, and we'll put our research together next Friday.
Okay, I prefer inch and a half.
This is Burger King. You do it your way, okay?
Hey, baby. You know I do.
So you do it whatever way. I'll do inch and a half. I'll do inch and a half squares too. I'm good with that. I like it a little bit more. So we'll do that, and then we'll see if there's any difference between half turns or quarter turns, other than the crust. How's that?
Yeah, I'm all over it.
I love it. All right, we have to take a break. I need to go get Kathleen's recipes. More of Mac, right? Doesn't channel James Comey. Has some moral courage to stand up to the tyranny of Montana Man and the Chef. That's right.
Bring it on, baby.
That's right. Bring it on. Bring it on. More of Marine Radio. The Cooking Hour coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Seven 56 on a Friday. All confrontation radio continues. That's right, baby. Not afraid. Let me read you this. Mac, you're a dick. How can you, of all people, with your lack of culinary skills, call bullshit on the chef? It's easy. Hey, when somebody's wrong, what am I going to do? Sit here and be a bobblehead? It's a legit question, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And Kim, you better be, I know you are. You're man enough that when you're wrong, you'll come on and say it. I'm confident of that. So, looking forward to it. That's all getting straight. Hey,
and I'm looking for you to tell me and genuflect and face North Dakota, get down on one knee and kiss my ring.
All right. It's on, baby. It is on. And let me tell you, and for all the rest of you amateur cooks out there, feel free to do your own experiment and let us know, because I'm curious because you're adamant. You turn it one time, right, and you don't flip it again, and now we're gonna cook our kebabs a different way. Now, so I'm just that's the nature of my curiosity, hence, and the question. So let me
that's a better way to answer that question. I'm curious. You've been telling me, preaching to
butch.
Me for years to flip it once.
Yeah.
Don't press down on the meat, and that was flat pieces of meat.
Right.
And so I respect your inquisitiveness.
Thank you.
Happens to be wrong.
That's the smartest thing you've said all morning. You know, I want to ask you, do you have any of your mom's cookbooks?
I've got my grandmother's cookbook.
You got your grandmother's cookbooks. Oh, she was the, your grandma was like Good Housekeeping or something like that?
Ladies Home Journal. She was a food editor, and she's the one that got me started called Cooking for Company.
Okay, let me tell you, that's...
We talked about that.
That's game, okay? When you're the food editor at Ladies Home Journal, boom. That's drop the mic time. So I'm looking at my mom's little tin. It would have been a tin card holder for 3x5 cards.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
It's this little tin thing, and it says recipe treasure box on it.
Has one from her mama too.
It's awesome, and the best part of it is it's in my mom's impeccable handwriting.
Yeah.
And then when you go through the recipes, you'll be going through, and there's a recipe that she made up called Home Runs. And I'll read that to you, because let me tell you, it's the favorite recipe of my friends. They were sandwiches that she made. And so you'll go through it and you'll find that. You'll see her carrot casserole recipe. And then you'll find this one. Melon and daiquiri sauce. Yeah.
Oh.
Kathleen was not afraid. There's like, maybe, I don't know, 10% of the recipes involve daiquiris or gin fizz or something like that. So we were a little bit different, you know, and she's in the kitchen, right, smoking her cigarettes, yeah, right, drinking her Vin Rosé.
Having a little Paul Mall.
Thank you. Drinking her Vin Rosé that's in a twist-off bottle, big, like, pot-belly bottle underneath the kitchen sink. That's no shit. That's my mom in the kitchen, and she had substantial game in the kitchen. But I can't find their shish kebab recipe. I don't know what I did with it. I thought I took a picture of it, and I'm looking for it. So let's talk about the marinade, if you will. When you marinate, what kind of marinade do you like to use? Because that's a huge part of this, right?
Oh, it's very, very good. Marinade is what it's all about.
Well, let's talk about your marinade.
Well, I am just going to give you a basic marinade that anybody can use. You don't have to get crazy.
Okay.
You can use buy a teriyaki sauce, your favorite.
Okay.
Whether it's Kikkoman or whatever you use.
Right.
Or you can make your own up with soy and Worcestershire. And then to the teriyaki, whether I add grated ginger, cumin, ground cumin, allspice, garlic, and salt and pepper. And that's pretty much it. And that's what you soak your cubes in. And I like to do it for 12 hours minimum, but you can get away with doing it for 2 to 4 hours if you're in a hurry.
No, we don't like that. We like good long marinade.
Yeah, and it can go up to 24 hours, this marinade. Don't put any sugar in there because that'll caramelize and you'll brown it.
You'll brown what? The meat? The meat?
Yeah. It'll char. Like if you put barbecue sauce on a chicken.
Right.
From the start.
Right. So.
Then you.
Okay. Cause I need to ask you about that. Cause I think Kathleen might have, I'm not sure. I think she has brown sugar in her marinade.
Well, if you put brown sugar in, you, put very little. But that is up to you. And what I would do is when you skewer the meat, I would take that marinade and I'd put it on a in the saucepan,
right,
and bring it to a boil with brown sugar then. And then you reduce that by half so you have kind of like a syrup.
Yes.
And then, just like barbecuing chicken, you brush that on just before you pull them off on all four sides and put a, you know, just heat it to caramelize it, and then it won't burn. But, yes, that's what I would do.
Okay. Now, since we're talking about burning, I want to talk about for a second about how you cook this because – it doesn't seem to me you need the same level of heat because the cut of the meat. And talk to me about that. Is do we use the same kind of heat that we normally use? Do we use less? And because the meat is, if you're going to turn, you know, on the quarter turn, you know, you can't be there very long, certainly, right? Or you're going to have well done shish kebab unintentionally.
That's right. That's why you have to stand over it and make your quarter turns. And you can crank it up on high heat if you so desire. You know, preheat the burners and then leave them all on high. And then clean and oil your grates. Cook covered if using a gas grill. And then turning kebabs one quarter turn every minute and a half to 2 minutes until meat is well browned all over.
Okay.
Grill marks and register 120 to 125 for rare, medium rare, and 130 to 135 for medium.
You know what? I love looking at my mom's recipe.
Oh, I'll bet that's cool. Let's hear it.
I'm looking at one for goulash. We have to. Can we do a show on goulash?
Oh gosh, yes. Oh, goulash, yes.
Oh, goulash, yes. The, all right, here's her marinade. 3/4 cup of soy sauce.
Yep.
Three or four cloves of garlic crushed.
Yes.
1/4 cup of brown sugar packed.
Yeah.
2 tablespoons of ginger.
Yes, great. And that's grated ginger, folks.
Yeah. And then, so that's her marinade, and then candy, then she has another recipe. So that's what she would use, I want to say, for shish kebab.
Yeah, and that's a spectacular.
What does the ginger do?
The ginger gives it that ginger flavor, and it's not a dominant flavor, but it adds a little depth to your sauce. And it's killer good.
Interesting.
Gingers in the marinade are very good.
Really? Well, let me tell you, she had mad game. She had mad game. So, all right. So well, what about, fruit and vegetables, do you have favorites that you like to use for kebabs? Because, you know, a lot of pineapple's a big favorite, especially if you're using teriyaki. Well, the way you describe your marinade, do the fruits and vegetables complement the marinade? How do you do it?
They do, but you don't put them in the marinade.
Right.
Okay, the fruits or vegetables. Now, what I like to do is I like onion and red and yellow peppers.
Hold on. White or red onion?
Red onion, when it cooks up, it's sweeter. You can use white onions or yellow onions if you so desire. But personally, I like red onions.
Okay. All right. That's a good call.
And red and green peppers, when they cook up on the grill, are sweeter than the, and they look prettier than, green peppers. And green peppers have a tendency to get bitter. So, that's the way. And I like to take, an apple wedge, a generous apple wedge.
What?
And put it on there. Yeah. It holds on there. Now, some people will put tomatoes on there, like a cherry tomato, a big cherry tomato or a Roma tomato.
Right.
But they have a tendency when they get hot to kind of get soggy and fall.
I love that, though. I love cherry tomatoes on the grill. And I agree with you. And that's part of the challenge of using them. And that's when you turn them, not making them too cumbersome and too thick. There's a little bit of an art to that, yes? I mean, the individual sticks themselves have to be manageable a little bit.
Yes. And you have to have an oven-proof, a heat-proof glove to pick it up by the ring and turn it.
Yeah, because there's nobody nobody butch enough to do that.
No, to barehanded, no. if you think you're butch enough, it'll happen once. and then you won't do that crap anymore.
Go ahead and try. But, there you go.
Yeah, but take a have a pair of tongs in one hand and the glove that you're going to turn them on the other, and then you just kind of turn them over.
All right, we like that.
But try an apple on it, and you start with. How I start is I'll put a apples on first, then the meat, then onion, pepper, meat, onion, pepper, meat, onion, pepper, meat, and then apple on the end. You want 4 chunks of meat on the skewer.
Okay.
And then And with the peppers, you double the peppers, like two pieces of yellow pepper, two pieces of red pepper, a good chunk of onion, and make sure that when you put the skewer through the onions, that you go through all layers of the onion, not just one end of it, because it'll all fall off on you. And you kind of not, don't pack them too tight, but pack them up beside each other. If you just squish them too much, then you're not going to have the heat evenly cook around your kebab. Okay?
Okay. That was easy. Apple. So, and so what is the apple doing? Is it so that you can eat it hot with the steak, or does it have some kind of medicinal purposes that seeps throughout the that skewer?
Well, apples have a nice they kind of get a nice grill flavor on it, and then the sweetness of the apple inside, and they soften a little bit, but they stay on the skewer. And you cook them with the skin on. You don't peel your apple.
Got it.
And they look very cool. And they taste great. Yeah. I had somebody, put a pineapple on, and, that, like a tomato, can get soft and fall.
But I love it with the teriyaki, if you're using a teriyaki marinade, pineapple, in my opinion, kind of mandatory. That's just me.
Yeah,
I know I've been wrong all morning. It's just me.
No. Look, Mac, I love pineapple in a teriyaki marinade.
Oh, because it sounded like you hated it.
No, I don't hate it. I'm just saying be careful, and make sure that the chunk is an inch and a half square, and it's not the pineapple isn't overripe. That it's ripe, but you know it has firmness to it, and then it'll work just fine for you.
All right.
And there you go. That's my favorite marinade is the teriyaki marinade, because if you let that go for 12 hours or so, it really gets and penetrates the meat. And when that grills, it gets its delicious flavor.
No, I love it. And I'll tell you what, it's a great summer meal, too, because it's a great you know how when you show up to somebody, hey, we're going to go over to somebody, they're going to grill, yeah. And then you walk in and say, hey, how's it going? And then you walk outside and you see those nice, pretty kebabs. On a skewer, and you see, you see the whether it be tomatoes, or red pepper, onions, you know it's going to be good eating because it's delicious. The things that screw it up are if it's, in my opinion, if it's overcooked, and it's hard to do because if you turn it four times, you know, that's pretty well cooked little 1-inch square of beef. So I think you got to be careful, yes?
That's why it's, a minute and a half goes pretty fast.
Right.
You still have it on for 6 minutes. You turn it fast. You can't leave it. Once you put your kebabs on the grill, you stick with it. And when you put your kebab on the grill, you put them across the grates. You don't have them going the same way the grates are going. You put them across the grates. Capiche?
Oui. All right. Are there anything other shish kebab pointers that you want to give out that I haven't asked you about?
Just put that glaze on there after when you're just about ready to
serve it,
pull them off, you can pull them off.
What glaze are you talking about? We have marinade, but what glaze are you talking about?
We made a glaze with the marinade.
Yeah.
You bring it to a boil.
Okay. And,
we reduce it. You put the brown sugar in, and that'll thicken it. And then you get that little hit.
But we're doing that right before we bring it off, just like what we do with chicken, so it doesn't get black.
Yes, and by the way,
yes,
when you pull those off, you put them on the platter. You do not have to let them rest, Mac. You go right into it.
Made for me.
You
man.
Dive.
My name all over the thing. My name went all over that. Okay, well, yeah, why don't we let it rest? We don't want the juice to run out. What changed?
There's not that much meat on a kebab. Okay. It's besides knowing you and me, it's probably at the most a 2-bite piece.
At the most. One of the great things about cooking shish kebab is it's a pretty good little snatch and grab while you're out cooking it. Yes?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's a little bit, and that's the cook's privilege. He's got rights. She's got rights.
Yeah.
So I'm part of it is sampling. So, yeah. I'm a fan. So, all right. All right. Anything else I haven't been smart enough to ask you that you want to let everybody know?
I think we pretty much covered it. It's not a difficult thing to do, but you have to have your peppers, your beef, your onion, the same size that you put on the skewer.
Right. Well, you know what? I did not know that because I don't know that Kathleen did that. I think she kind of cut it up. She tried to make it uniform, but it didn't always work out that way. But you know what? If she was still alive, she would probably look at me and say, "Stop being stupid." Of course I did. Some of that was love.
You know what she'd say? Yeah. Haven't you been listening to me all these years?
Good God. The fact that you didn't pay attention is my fault, okay? Those are small scraps that go onto the end of the skewers or kind of little nibble bits. I did that rather than throw them away, Michael.
Yeah.
And I would have said, yes, Mom.
And when you do prep your peppers, you take the stem off, you seed it, and then you cut squares out of those sides. You've got two sides, and then you can probably get, depending on the size of the pepper, but you'll see when you buy the peppers of how you want to do it. You don't cut strips. You cut squares out of each side.
Right. Which takes a little bit of, which takes a few of them to do it right. So, anyway.
Yes.
Okay, sir. All right. First of all, thank you very much. Appreciate your commentary, both political and culinary today. And look forward to having you back next week on your knees apologizing to me for being a dick. So.
I'm happy to accept apologies now, but I can wait a week for this.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you should write it down because you get confused sometimes. So you write that shit out and get ready to apologize. All right.
I got it, baby.
All right.
I've already started to write my apology.
Yeah, I bet you have. All right. I will talk to you later. Thanks for the visit.
Take care, brother.
All right. Stop sending me hate mail about the chef, man. I'm not afraid of that guy. Look, I've hosted car segments. I call bullshit on those guys. I call bullshit on my dad. Let me just tell you how much you think I laughed when Aaron Boone launched that one into wherever he hit it, up into like the third deck of Yankee Stadium that night. You knuckleballs, man. That's like going to Vegas. You're rolling the dice. So, anyway, we're going to take a break. Ben Connable going to join us next. You're going to hear an interview we taped earlier this week. It's about the task force on the rebuilding of Iraq. So so sit back, relax. Ben's a smart guy. Been that way for a long, long time. He'll join us, and then the Gunner will join us. The Gunner's going to come on and apologize, too, for being a Boston fan. And let me just tell you, the Yankees lost 5-4. And had the tying runs on in the seventh and eighth innings. And then they had their first, second, third hitters coming up in the ninth. That's right. They barely lost that game and then smoked them the other two games. So Musselman will be apologizing here shortly, and that's the way that goes. But quick break. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous, infamous Battle Mug. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.